Okay, welcome everybody to Pat's Forum. This is Pat Williams, April 15th, 2013, and we've got several callers on with us today, and some of you will be listening by recording later. So welcome everybody from around the country, maybe even Canada or some other country. I don't know. Who do we have here outside of America, outside of the United States? Anybody? Okay, not today. Often we do. We've had people call in from, well, we've got students in all six continents, just nobody in Antarctica. So we haven't found any polar scientists yet that want to learn to be coaches, but we're working on it. I made today's topic competence and confidence. You know, what's the difference? How do they interplay? And that's been something I've toyed with for a long time. Now, many of you wrote in some questions and some statements that we'll get to later. But as I moved into this field of coaching, having been a psychologist for many years, it came to me that oftentimes, you know, I wasn't even sure I was competent as I'd like to be as a psychologist when you're sworn into a court as an expert. You know, you're an approved court expert in this child custody case. And I'm going, oh, man, do I really want to be expert? Well, expert, as we've learned from other fields, doesn't necessarily mean somebody's even competent. They're just an expert. They seem to be the one that knows the most about the topic, and a lot of times people can be like snake oil salesmen. So they're not really competent. They just come off with confidence, and that covers their competence. You get what I'm saying here? So I think competence and confidence, as you learn to move into the profession of coaching, that's mostly what I want to talk about, are flip sides of a coin. I mean, you need both. Now, which comes first? I'm still not sure. I think if you gain confidence in yourself, like during our training, during learning new skills, even though you thought you knew them before, you're applying them in a new paradigm, as you become confident in knowing that you can do basic coaching, you'll become more competent the more you do it. Or as you learn the competency of what we would define as, you know, quality coaching, we're not talking about masterful here. To become competent doesn't mean masterful. I don't know if anybody ever masters anything. They just get more competent or maybe more masterful. As you become more competent, learn the skills, people assess that you're doing them. You know, competence simply means you can do the task that's defined to be done. Even when we measure for certification, we're measuring competency. We're not measuring mastery. So competence then comes as you do it more. And here's one of the secrets of coaching. Somebody actually wrote a question about this. How do you know when you're competent enough? You know, the more you coach, even all the training we give you and all the reading and all the practice and all the skills and all the stuff in the toolbox, that's all great. Just like the theory is great, but eventually you have to apply it. And you will become a better coach. Let me just ask the crowd here. How do you think after all the training you become an even better, more competent coach? What's the secret to that? What would you guess?
To be able to actually apply those skills.
Right. And how would you know?
I think if I got more clients.
Well, yeah. Because that's really the answer. Your clients, the more you coach, the better you're going to get. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, the more you coach, the better you're going to get. And you have to really ask for feedback from your clients. Now, you don't do it in a way where you say, well, so how did I do? But you might do it in a way where you say, how's the coaching working for you so far? What's most helpful about the coaching conversations we're having? What could I do differently? You know, you're not saying, what did I do wrong or what did I do better? And the clients will tell you, which will boost your confidence. I mean, I got to tell you, sometimes over the years, I've asked that question and the client has said something. I go, holy cow, I didn't even know that was happening. I didn't even know that inspiration came from this statement I made or that the way I asked a question or the way I listened helped them get more deep into their thinking than they've ever gotten before. So if you don't ask, you'll never know. Competence comes from doing more of the work, but finding some way to get a feedback loop Now, there are many tricks. You all could record your part of the conversation, or if you have permission, record the whole conversation with your client, and then listen to it back at some other time. Listen to it back objectively where you're not coaching. You're actually listening to your coaching. You can get more competent getting in a practicum group or getting a group of your fellow colleagues and practice with each other. You can listen to tapes of other coaches. You know, there are some things I don't have I do have the source right now. A good friend of mine, Peter Redding, has started a thing called Coaching Unplugged. And for a very nominal fee, you can listen to Masterful Coaching. They're all MCCs. Coach somebody once a month or listen to the recordings at a later date. And it's not very expensive at all to do that. It's called Coaching Unplugged. But what are some of the ways that you all, I mean, I don't know what stage of your learning you're at. I don't know what professions you came for before, but we know you're all adult learners. So you bring to the table competence in something, and yet something about coaching attracted you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is it, how's it working for you? Where are you gaining competence? I think it was Linda that said, Williams saying, I just need more clients. Well, let's talk about that. Where do you get the confidence to get out and let people know what you do, to quit being a secret, as we said? You'll get more clients by having more conversations about wanting more clients.
Right. And Pat, what I had to do, literally, to be able to focus more time and energy on my coaching was to really walk away from a paying job, because it really interfered with the hours I needed to be booking some clients. So I, by faith, I stepped out. And so when I did that, what I found myself doing when people would ask me, so what is it that you do? Because previously, I really would lead out with the paying job,
mm-hmm.
but then I would tack on the coaching piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm finding I'm doing more of is because I don't have the paying piece, that other job anymore, you know, I find myself when I'm in that conversation is just boldly say, I am a life coach. And for this area, I am having to really do a lot of explaining or sending them to
sure.
the website, because they really don't know. And some, even when I booked them as a client, we're really looking for a therapist, and so
yeah.
I would have to give them in a different direction so
uh-huh.
that they could get that. But yeah, so I see myself more as a coach, especially now that I am going for the credentialing. I think that gives me a measure of confidence.
Yes. Good example. Let's. I appreciate your comments, but let's let somebody else try to have some conversation too. What I want to respond to about that, though, is if some of you don't have coaching clients yet, or you've only had a few, you can't have a lack of confidence that'll get you marketing if you don't find a way to package your words. And here's what I mean by that. Even if you don't have clients, you don't say, you know, I'm just starting as a coach, and I'm looking for clients, and so if you know of anybody or if you'd like to try it, let me know. That's not going to work. You have to be able to confidently say, I am expanding my business into coaching. I'm a student at an international training school for coaching, and I have room for 6 new clients in my practice. Now, nothing about that is a falsehood. So the confidence comes from you believing that you can coach some people, and you may not even use the word coach right away in the area you're in. Maybe life coach is what you do, but it may not be what you put on your card. You know, you if you want a gig with a corporate client, life coach on your card is probably not going to help. If you're just looking to help everyday people on rebalancing, reorganizing, refocusing, redesigning their life, then indeed that's what you are. But you have to explain, I work with people who want to live their life more optimally, and I do that through life coaching. So you don't lead with coaching, you lead with what you do, And if you don't have any clients, you can then cite research. You can cite some things from like some of the classes we teach and say, you know, people who work with a coach find that, or the kind of clients that benefit from coaching are. So you're not saying, I don't have any clients yet. What you want to say is, here's how coaching can help, and I'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. So what are some of the responses you have to what I said there, anybody in the class today?
Hi, this is Noelle, and I'm not really at that stage of looking for clients yet. I mean, my background, okay. I have a master's in psychotherapy, and I'm in the foundational course going okay. on for the BCC. So I am actually in the process of having business cards made and trying to get on some type of advisory, like charitable board, where I could not only make a difference but have, you know, more visibility as well.
Okay.
But I don't have the I obviously don't have clients yet, so I think, because
right.
I mean, we were told by Lynn that we can market ourselves as a life coach without having, you know, completed the whole training yet, but I just haven't kind of really tried at this point, maybe feeling somewhat, I don't want to say fraudulent, but just because I don't have many of the life coaching classes behind me.
Yeah, and so somebody who might be more confident could say, well, I know I don't have my credentials yet, but I know I can do basic coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So what you know is you're probably not going to work with a high-level executive or somebody who's, you know, really got or they're ready to move fast, but you might be able to use coaching principles with somebody who maybe can't afford a higher fee. And
mm-hmm.
You gain confidence in the work you're doing. So you can all call yourself a coach, and we're not
mm-hmm.
trying to suggest you do anything fraudulently, but you also have to say, you know, I'm not certified yet, but I'm a student at the Institute for Life Coach Training, or I'm an adult learner, or I'm taking training at. And while it's not a licensed profession, it's kind of a specialized field of consulting, right? Because a consultant isn't licensed either. Consultants aren't even certified. So as when you get comfortable getting paying clients is up to you. Your fees can be higher, of course, when you get certified and as you gain confidence because you're going to be a level above a beginner. But let's keep in mind, you already come from doing psychotherapy, so you've got many
mm-hmm.
of the requisite skills that coaching uses. You're just going to use them in a different lane of traffic. You know, it's like driving a car in Australia. I was using this analogy. The first time I did that, it was felt really weird to have the driving steering wheel on the right side and drive on the left side of the road. And I finally realized, you know, that's kind of what it's like moving from one profession to coaching is, and let's take psychotherapy or counseling as an example. Some of the same skills are there, you know, listening and rapport and confidentiality
mm-hmm.
and empathy. So just like driving a car, some of the same skills are there, but it felt weird in this new lane of traffic with the car differently designed. So that's kind of what it's like moving from a counseling profession to coaching. It's some of the same skills, but used in a different way.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really helpful. Think of it in that way.
There's a good quote from Theodore Roosevelt. I think I have it right here. Yeah. Theodore Roosevelt said, whenever you are asked if you can do a job, tell them, certainly I can. Then get busy and find out how to do it. you're not saying, yes, I can do that now. But if you have confidence in knowing you can learn it, say, yes, I can. And then go find out what you need to be able to take on that job. Now, I'm not talking about somebody being a brain surgeon. And, you know, we're not talking about that. You can't go learn that overnight. But certainly if you stick with the parameters of coaching being the essentials of listening with a focus and avoid advice and ask powerful questions that get the client to think and evoke new thoughts and then help them plan for some action steps, that's basic coaching, and it'll be incredibly helpful to somebody. Now, if they're asking you to redesign their business or help them with a startup entrepreneurial aspect, I don't even do that. I said, you know, that's not what I know. I'm not a business consultant. I'm not a business expert, but I can coach you about what you want in your business. So if you need other consultants or lawyers or CPAs, we'll refer you to that. But I'm an expert on coaching, and you're an expert on your life. So that's one way I say it. Now, there's another one that a quote I like here, Martin Van Buren, who was an early president, you know, he said, it is easier to do a job right than to explain why you didn't. Now, this is not in coaching, not about doing a job right, but if you wait to become confident, then you'll never try it. So practice with as many people as you can. Get some clients that you tell them, you know, listen, I'm just expanding my business into that, and because of that, I've got some discounted fees right now. So if you're interested, it could be a win for you and a win for me. You're not getting so cheap that you're devaluing yourself, but you're going to gain confidence that way.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments from somebody else that we haven't heard from? Okay, well, there was somebody that said, how do you help a client build confidence even if they're not skilled in a role or a position? Well, you know, you have to be reasonable. If somebody's kind of moving into a job where they don't have any of the skills, that's a problem. If it's something where they can quickly learn, or if they've got the basics, you know, I sometimes get a lot of government, I have four or five government employees a year that I coach through a certain agency. And they get transferred, they get lateral moves, they get promoted. And a lot of it's on-the-job learning. There's no manual for how to do a certain job. So you've got to learn from the previous person. You've got to learn from your mentor. If you're coaching a client that wants to learn, where do I get my competence, keep asking them, so what is it you don't know? What are the resources you have for learning more about this? Where do you go for mentoring or coaching on this job? Because a lot of jobs today, especially in corporations and major companies, is learning what you learn while you learn it. I mean, you have to have the basics of communication and decision-making and critical thinking, but a lot of what was true today, or a lot of what was true last month is not true today. I mean, a lot of jobs are in constant change, you know, unless you're an actuarian or a CPA or... and even that stuff, tax rules change every year, so you always have to relearn. The clients that you coach, you're not the one, you don't want to let them put you on a pedestal that you know what they should do in their job. You know, don't get trapped in trying to find the answers for how they learn to do their job. Instead, confidently ask them questions about what is it you need to learn? What are you missing? Is this a mindset that you have, a belief about yourself? Or is it just a lack of confidence? And there's all kinds of questions you can go to. Is that helpful to anybody? I forget who asked that question. Steve Smith asked that question. No, I'm sorry. Ina Bachman asked that question about building a client confidence. I don't know if Ina's on the phone or not. Okay, here's somebody... We kind of asked this, but let me read this question. How do I develop a greater competence and confidence to market myself as a life coach? Most of my coaching to date has been part of my profession as a pastor and a teacher. I've just recently received the board certified coach status and have just begun to market myself as a life coach. When are you good enough? When do you stop collecting certifications? Can you be an authority in the field without a doctorate? Yeah, you can probably hear my smiling. I believe certification is important, not necessary. But the reason I believe it's important, it does at least two things. It makes you feel more competent, most likely. And if people get certified, it's kind of a, you know, a red badge of courage, or your golden thing, like the lion got his golden heart or whatever from the Wizard of Oz. It's a mark of status, and not just for status. But the second thing it does is it helps the public who find you know that you've gone through a proper set of regulations and steps to become certified. Now, does that mean a certified coach is necessarily better than a non-certified coach? No, not at all. There's a lot of people that are great coaches and never got certified. There's a lot of certified coaches who are not very good coaches. And that's true of a lot of professions, as you know. You know, there's a lot of good therapists that maybe didn't get any extra training. There's a lot of good, you know, years and years and years of expertise, and they're not very good. So how does the public learn? By the relationships you build with them. You have got to get out and be seen. I used to teach a marketing class called No Matter Where You Go, There You Are, because you are who they're hiring. It's the you that they learn about, see, meet. Maybe they saw you speak at a Rotary thing in a church meeting. They're referred to you, and you give a nice sample session, and they feel you're warm and caring. And from then on, you coach them on what they want. You don't have to have a bag of tricks. Okay, so let me stop for a while and see what comments anybody has in the call here. Reactions to what I've said or new thoughts that you have. Nobody?
Yeah, I'm just processing this, Pat.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, just processing it. Here's a question about approaching it. I'm the one that wrote that question. My background is pastor, and I discovered coaching a number of years ago and took some courses, and I used it in my profession and used it fairly effectively. And, you know, people said, wow, thank you very much. You know, that's great. Now approaching it from a perspective of, okay, now it's time to, shift gears and move into this and make it a profession.
Right.
Instead of doing it through pastoring or teaching or even the nonprofit that I've been running for the past few years, it's a little different approach. And some of what I'm finding is that, some religious people, which is where a lot of my personal and connections are and ties, may not even be confident enough to realize that coaching can be beneficial. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So how do I, as a coach, before I'm coaching somebody, create enough confidence to even for the potential client to even believe that this is going to be helpful?
So the question back to you is, how would you know when you feel confident?
How do I know I feel confident?
Yeah.
Success.
Say it again.
Success. In my case, with coaching, it's people that I've helped, and particularly young adults, but others as well.
Here's the question, and this is really for all of you. So if you've got a client or you really want to go get clients, you have to be confident enough. So you can be nervous and still be confident. You can be nervous and still be confident. We're not talking about ultra confidence, pure confidence, never get nervous confidence. I mean, I remember hearing some of the most famous actors, actresses used to throw up backstage before they went out, and then they were very confident. But people use nerves in different ways. I call it energy. It's nervous energy, right? So if you believe enough that you can do essentially competent coaching, then just coach, because when in doubt, ask the client. You can always say, so what would be most helpful right now in our conversation? What's not happening here that you wish were happening? All those are powerful questions. You don't have to know anything except how to ask evocative questions that neither one of you know the answer to. That's the magic of coaching, is that the coach asks questions that neither the client nor the coach knows the answer to. And that creates new thinking, out-of-the-box ideas, insights, etc. So here's my suggestion and request for all of you, is what do you need to know to have a 30, 40-minute coaching conversation with somebody and feel that you were confident and competent enough. Now, what I'm saying is, and this is just what I'm saying, so I have you request to think about it too, is look at the basics. If you only had, let's say, four things that you needed to be sure to do in that conversation, what would they be? Well, first of all, you'd want to become present. You'd want to be sure that you're present, not distracted, focused, able to listen, able to really, you know, listen as focused and intently as you can. You'd want to be able to use silence so that you don't interrupt and don't feel like you have to be the one doing all the talking. And that comes from you want to be able to ask evocative questions, powerful questions. Not something that you thought about ahead of time, but something you create in the moment. You know, questions that I exemplified earlier or questions that come from the conversation. So, like, so what would you like to get out of our time today? What is it you really want to create that this coaching can assist you with? And then you listen and you help create from their conversation plan. Well, I heard you say you wanted to write this book. What do you need to do differently to get this book written? Okay, well, I need to write every day. Okay, when every day? Probably in the morning. Well, when in the morning? Is there a time slot that we could agree to? So you're just asking questions to help the client get more clear and more actionable. So back to my request of all of you, what are the, other than what I said, or maybe you agree with what I said, what are the essential 3, 4, 5 things you need to be confident that you can do to have a competent coaching conversation with somebody?
The ability to ask good, powerful questions.
Right? That's key. That's one of the distinctions of coaching. Let's talk about some of the stuff that's taught behind the scenes. If you're going to have a conversation with somebody, this appointment's coming up, how do you become ready to coach? It's good that the client could be encouraged to be ready to coach. Come ready, think about what you want, and we're going to settle into a conversation where maybe you can come up with some new thinking and new ideas and new plans. But how about you as the coach? What would you do for yourself to become ready to coach?
Do you mean in terms of just self-care or things to get centered in that moment?
Absolutely. Yep. That's a big
part. I mean, it just would depend, I think, whatever was important or relaxing for you. I mean, mine probably sounds a little cliche, but whenever I'm at least at the stage of practicing, you know, with my friends or family or acquaintances, I'll do something just to kind of chill beforehand, like have tea or light a candle, read a book, or just to kind of not feel like my head is sort of whirling all over the place. And that way I'm more relaxed and, you know, less likely to be distracted during that session because I already had a moment to decompress.
That's exactly right. You don't want to have an appointment with a new client or even a current client and rush into the room and do the phone call. Or if you're doing it live, you don't want to, you know, have them show up and you just finish something else. You want to have some moments. It can be just a few minutes, but prepare yourself. Think about the client. Think about what you want to do. Think about being centered and focused and present. Because this is a relational profession. It's not a technology profession. It's not the technology of coaching as much as it is the relationship of this conversation. You know, you're going to come off as somebody who listens to this person differently than anybody else in their life. And that's why I think the value that coaching has popped up as such an emergent profession is because where in our lives do we have somebody that listens to us about some of the things we share like a coach? Now, a therapist would listen to things that we're bothered by or that we have a lot of angst over. And frankly, for a lot of times, people went to a therapist as a life coach because there weren't any life coaches. You didn't know where else to go. And they made up illness so they could see somebody. They made it sound worse than it was. It wasn't depression. It was just depletion of energy. So I think nowadays coaching has popped up as the person that can be a good, focused listener differently than anybody else in your life. So even if you have a spouse that's a good listener or a best friend that's a good listener, that's terrific. But they're not going to listen as a coach listens all the time. It can't be as objective. So the confidence you have comes from the fact that you're offering a service to somebody that they don't have anywhere else. And it's comprised of listening, presence, and creating new thinking and new awareness, new consciousness, if you want to call it that, by asking questions that change the way the client thinks and can. That's what it boils down to. Let me think about this from another angle. When I started talking years ago about confidence and competence, I actually came up with that as part of the six C's of marketing yourself as a coach. You know, if you're going to do your elevator speech, your 15-second powerful introduction, you need to be it needs to be clear. So defining what you do needs to be clear. It needs to be concise. That's two C's. It needs to be compelling. So it needs to compel the person to want to know more. It needs to have the word coach in it somewhere. And it needs to be delivered with competence and confidence. So if I say something, here's a story. This is a true story. So years ago, I was with my younger daughter up in Charleston, South Carolina. And she'd come out from Colorado. And she was actually getting a minor in Black history, African American history. And so she wanted to study some of the slave trade and the Gua journey of the African Americans and the plantation life, et cetera. So we decided on Charleston because it was only a 4-hour drive from where I lived at the time. And I met her there. We stayed 3 nights in a bed and breakfast, did all the touring around, you know, and I get up early every morning at the bed and breakfast. I'm a morning person, so I'd be down there at 7 o'clock having my coffee and croissant or something, and then about 9 o'clock my daughter would be done drying and curling her hair or whatever she was doing and finally got up and came down. And so this guy, young guy behind the counter, kept saying, you know, you're down here every day and you seem so happy, and then your daughter shows up and says, what is it you do? And I said, well, you know, I do pretty much whatever I want to do, and I coach other people to do the same. And it just came out. It just came out of my mouth. And I immediately said, oh, let me say that again. And this guy behind the counter, behind the young man, said, what did you say? And I said, well, what I said was, I didn't quite mean it the way. No, I liked it. Say it again, he said. And I said, well, I do pretty much whatever I want to do, and I coach other people to live their life that way. And he said, I need to talk to you. So the long story short, is the guy was the head of the bed and breakfast. He ended up hiring me to be his coach, because if you don't know this, the people that own bed and breakfast within the first 7 years of running one, they're either bankrupt, divorced, or they've had a heart attack, 80% of the people. So he hired me to work with him for 6 months, and then I also gave a keynote speech to the South Carolina Bed and Breakfast Association. So my point of that story is that came out from me being so confident and confident in the moment that I said an elevator speech that I've never said before, and I never used it again. It was the truth. I do pretty much whatever I want to do in my life, and I coach other people to do the same. Now, that might sound kind of pompous to some people, but it sounds a lot better than, well, you know, everybody has that gap between where they are and where they want to be in life. That's where I coach. If you don't deliver that confidently, it sounds like you're reading a commercial. But let's say that I just said it a different way, that those words are fine. I'll say, well, you know how people sometimes have that gap between where they are in life and where they really want to be? That's where I coach them. I'm helping overcome that gap and develop what it is they want to develop. I say that's the same words, a little embellished, but I said it with energy and confidence. The other way to describe that, and then I'll shut up again for a moment, is I used to be in community theater in Colorado when I lived there. And so, you know, I never did theater in high school or college, but I loved doing community theater. And you'd be given a script. They'd have you and a female lead get up there and see if you were paired together, and you'd read from the play. And you just read a line. They're checking if you're, you know, if you look good together, if the voicing sounds good, whatever. And then let's say you get the part. Okay, then you get the part, and you have 6 weeks of rehearsals, and you have to not only memorize the line, but you have to eventually know where you're supposed to be when you're delivering the line. And hopefully the night before dress rehearsal, you really become the character. You deliver the line so confidently that when one of your colleagues forgets to come onto the stage at the right time, that you can actually make up a line to get them out there. So confidence and competence comes from practice and repetition. For you as coaches, if you are practicing marketing, you know, say it in front of a mirror. Say it into a recording and listen to it. Learn to deliver it confidently by repetition. First words out of your mouth may sound a little rote, or they may sound a little routine. Find the words that you like, and then just let it become you, so that you really just respond to each person differently. Coaching is about the relationship. That's the key. So does either one of those stories help any of you get some insights into maybe what you need to embellish your competence and your confidence?
Yes, definitely.
Tell me how. Tell me what's transpired for you in the last few minutes hearing those stories.
Well, I guess, this is Linda. For me, what it resonated was, like you were saying, leading out not with who I am, but what I do. And I think being able to identify a benefit in that.
Right.
Yeah, will help the hearer to know I can get something out of this, just like, you know, the gentleman that heard you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just knowing how I can benefit someone else and make that part of that speech.
Yeah, the Charleston story, you notice I didn't say, well, I'm a life coach and here's what I do. What
right.
I said was, I do pretty much ever what I want to do and I help other people do the same.
Exactly.
I didn't say I was a coach.
Right.
Now, he says, that sounds interesting, tell me more. Then I can say, well, I'm what's called a life coach or a personal coach or a leadership coach or a motive, whatever it is. And mm-hmm. I work with people to help them define the life they want to live optimally and find out what steps they can take to get there.
Right.
Or I work with people to improve the gaps in their personal and professional life. That way you've covered both, personal and professional.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Comments, questions, thoughts? All right, so here's my request. Let's just do a little wrap-up here. And my request for all of you on this call and those of you who maybe are listening to the recording at a more convenient time is I'd like all of you to do a little self-reflection home and write down on a 10-point scale, with 1 being no confidence and 10 being great confidence, and 1 being no competence and 10 being... So for both words, confidence and competence, do a 10-point scale. Give yourself a rating of where you are now, and then ask yourself, what is it I need for that number to be higher? And the third part is, where can I get what I need? How can I develop what I need? And then I actually think, I mean, that's just for yourself, but if you want to share that, you know, you might post that on the ILCP student blog or something and say, you know, you were on the call and you listened to this and you got this assignment, and let other students see what it is you learned and what you transformed beyond with confidence and competence. You know, I rated myself a 5. I asked myself what I could do to become a 7 or an 8, and lo and behold, this is what happened. So if you can all agree to that assignment, I won't hold you to it because I can't see you raising your hand, but, you know, take it on yourself and let me know what happened if you can. Just post it on the ILCP blog or Facebook or there on the homepage, the student sites?
Actually, that's the reason that I responded and took this class, because I was asking that third question of myself.
Oh, good. So that's one of the steps you're taking to become more competent, is taking the training.
Right. Looking wherever I can. And for me, I think, honestly, the issue is I've had an office in my home for the last 6 years, and I haven't had enough interaction with enough other people.
I understand that. Yeah, so even if you're going to coach by phone, you got to get out in front of people. You got to talk to the Rotary Clubs or different arenas than people know you. If they know you as a pastor and a teacher, can you now let them find you as a coach? How are you different? Who are you telling that you're now a coach? Do they know? If they don't know, they can't refer people to you. So everybody do that little assignment, and let's just have you go forth and work on both of these. Get your confidence and confidence both up, and I hope to hear from you in the future. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Pat. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Pat. It was really helpful.
Good. Let me hear Hal. And we'll talk
Thank
to you,
Pat. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Have a great day.